Okay, thanks very much, Laura. So we've heard a lot about 3D discomfort in this previous session. This is another study trying to quantify, in particular, the effects of vertical and torsional disparities. So 3D discomfort comes out of many domains, from camera misalignment, from optical distortions, from disparity registration issues, and from post-processing distortions. So we're going to focus in this talk on the camera misalignment issues, translational, torsional disparities, and the other possible issues would be mean tilt, toe-in, and differential shear factors. But there's just two factors are the main focus. So a given camera can have three directions in which it's misaligned: torsional roll, horizontal yaw, a vertical pitch. And so the horizontal disparities, the yaw, don't give much discomfort because it's easy to reconverge to compensate them for them. But the vertical disparities from pitch misalignment, the torsional disparities from particularly roll misalignment, and other factors such as size and keystoning from mismatch in the camera angles can cause 3D discomfort. So let's get to the vertical disparities. I just wanted to give you a couple of demos to get a feel for what the effects of vertical displacement. So here's a San Francisco image. If we split it into two images, and is this working? No. The participants viewed the images in random order with a presentation time of 2 seconds each, chosen to be short enough to reflect the typical shot in a movie or typical glance at a scene in a movie, but not long enough to allow an assessment of the stereoscopic discomfort effect. Sorry, but long enough. So the discomfort was rated on a 5-point rating scale from no discomfort to severe discomfort. And we wanted the subjects to have a chance to reassess if they pressed the wrong button. So they had to confirm each choice. There were nine subjects. I'm going to have a demo, an anaglyph demo. So if you can pass out the anaglyph glasses, that would be good. So the ratings for vertical disparity, that's a vertical displacement between the left and right images, as a function of disparity in arc minutes, are shown on this plot. Get the pointer. I can't see it, I don't know if you can. So This is in a 2D configuration. So the image is flat, like the ones I was showing you. So there's no, essentially no discomfort when there's no vertical disparity. But as it runs up to 20 or 30 arc minutes, which is a very small disparity, the discomfort rises rapidly to a level close to severe. These are data for the averages for the nine subjects. I don't have error bars on them, but the I'll just do it verbally. But you can see from the consistency that they're very reliable. And these were fitted with a model function that's going to help us analyze the behavior across different conditions. So this model function was derived as a disparity signal, which you can think of as coming from the disparity energy model, which obviously the data are not linear. So we applied a hyperbolic compression function, which is shown in the top equation, with a power needed to have a power of 2. That's corresponds to what would come out of the disparity energy model. And this compression function also had to have an additional term to take account of the crosstalk in the display. I didn't mention that the display is a stereoscopic display. It was a stereoscopic 3D display, which had inevitably some crosstalk. It was about 5% contrast. And so we had a second expression to incorporate the crosstalk term in a Minkowski norm operator, which turned out worked best with a power of 2, so it's a Euclidean norm between the hyperbolic compression and a fixed crosstalk factor. Now, when we add the stereo, I've got a couple of demos here. So this is a stereoscopic image. Thank you, Andrew. Red on the right. So you should see a decent amount of depth. Because it's an anaglyph, you don't get perfect separation, so you will get some crosstalk. So that it may seem somewhat, there may be some level of discomfort. Now when we add some vertical disparity, the question is, do you feel more discomfort? This is a small amount of vertical disparity, which would correspond to probably about 20 minutes from where you're sitting. But you notice that the depth itself, let me go back, the depth itself of these cables coming out of the screen doesn't cause any discomfort, any noticeable discomfort. The vertical disparity is, I think, how many people can really appreciate the vertical disparity at this level? Yeah. Only one, only Andrew Woods. But now if we add in a lot of vertical disparity, you're probably going, ooh, that's really uncomfortable. At least I hope so. Because this is the kind of thing we need to avoid in stereo displays. And the thing we're quantifying. So here's a second demo. This is a scene with rocks, obviously. It goes back into the screen. And we add some vertical disparity, maybe marginally uncomfortable. And then add a lot more vertical disparity, and now it's getting noticeable, and you feel kind of a wrenching in your eyes, perhaps. Anyway, that's what our subjects felt. And so this is a comparison of the ratings with the... let me get my pointer up. I've got my own pointer, thank you. The ratings, the blue is the 2D display with no inherent disparity. Only the vertical disparity. The red is the 3D display, and you see that even where there's no additional vertical disparity, going to the 3D already generates some discomfort. This is why we needed this fixed discomfort factor, because the inherent disparity of the display feeds into the crosstalk, and so for each item in the image, you actually see three images, two at very low contrast, but they're enough to cause discomfort. Something has to be dealt with. And then they go up with very much the same function on the hyperbolic compression. So now let's look at torsional disparities. Hopefully this demo will work. Yeah. So now this is... not disparity, because you're looking at it with both images with both eyes, but it gives you a sense of what the torsion is doing to the image. And if it's just overlaid, it causes a lot of discomfort at high levels. So now we can do the same thing in the stereo display. This has disparity, and now this has a horizontal disparity. Now we're going to add some torsional disparity. Oops, sorry. I'm out of order. So this one has no torsional disparity. This one has some torsional disparity, but probably barely noticeable. And then this one has a lot of torsional disparity, and you probably again feel a wrenching of the eyes, at least Lenny Lipton does. So here are the data then for the 2D and 3D discomfort ratings for the torsional disparity. And now notice that the angle here is in degrees of torsional of angular difference between the two images, not arc minutes of vertical disparity. So these are quite large angles of torsion, and the values, they don't go up to the severe level. They stay at a much shallower level in the range that we set up to study, which is up to 50 degrees of angle. So it seems the torsional disparities are less disturbing at what you would think was a strong level than vertical disparities. So here's the two graphs compared directly. Now, because the crosstalk is already causing a discomfort factor of about 1 at in the 3D case, in order to make a criterion for what we think for what one could recommend as a discomfort level to be avoided, we chose a criterion level of 2, in other words, moderate discomfort. So if you want to avoid moderate discomfort, you can set up the criterion here, and the vertical disparity levels below which you don't get moderate discomfort are about 14 and 17 arc minutes for the 2D and 3D cases respectively. And then for the torsional disparity, the levels below which you should keep your display is 33 and 27 arc minutes, at a criterion level of 2. So, in summary, stereoscopic discomfort was rated in 3 natural images, I didn't mention that, for vertical and torsional disparities in both 2D and 3D viewing, modeled with a second-order hyperbolic compression of disparity energy with a term for the crosstalk. The crosstalk gave a discomfort level of 1 even for, sorry, not for 2D viewing, that's incorrect, for 3D viewing. So the criterion discomfort level had to be set at a moderate, at our scale level of 2. And the criterion levels were 14 and 17 arc minutes for 2D and 3D respectively, and 33 degrees and 27 degrees for 2D for torsional disparities. Now, so I just want to make a few comments on 3D display discomfort based on our sample of 3D displays, you know, going to Best Buy and seeing what they have. I'm not talking necessarily high-end, but the kind of thing that consumers are, is available to consumers now. And so these displays produce a measurable level of discomfort for 2D and especially for 3D viewing conditions. It produces visible ghosting with 3 perceived images for each intended image, and also a reduced stereoscopic effect because the ghosts have 0 disparity, so they're fighting with the intended depth of the other images. To completely eliminate this kind of crosstalk, the manufacturers need to reduce the crosstalk contrast below about 0.1%, not 1%, but 0.1%, lower than about a factor of 10 than what the is currently available. And I didn't mention it, but displays that project to the two eyes by intraocular alternation need to keep the intraocular flicker above about 80 hertz in order for that to be invisible. So that's the findings of our study. Thank you very much.
We have time for a few questions. Yes.
Grace,
yes,
very anxious.
Ray Zone, yes, Christopher. How did you make the 80% determination, 80 hertz determination as a discomfort?
That wasn't from this study. That's actually from another thing that I did when Apple consulted me and said, well, how should display flicker be set? And if you, based on some of our analytic psychophysical studies, 60 hertz is visible in the periphery, you see. So the point is these displays are large and bright, and so something like 60 hertz is still going to give you perceived flicker. And if you're the kind of person who's sensitive to perceived flicker, which I am, you need to take it up beyond about 80 hertz for the typical display luminance of the high LED displays.
What stereoscopic display device did you use at that time to make that 80 hertz determination?
I didn't determine that on a stereoscopic display. That's done from psychophysical studies from the 80s.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
There is a question. Yes, this guy.
Or is it that one? You used the term interocular flicker. You're probably referring to like Rogowitz data from the early 90s, late 80s.
I was really referring to Sherrington 1904, but.
Okay. Have you seen a study where they differentiate between interocular
Sherrington
flicker rate
1904.
And both eyes in sync?
At high flicker rates, it doesn't really matter. The idea is that if the flicker is in counterphase, at low rates it might cancel, but at high rates it really is independent of whether it's monocular, binocular, or interocular.
That's what I would expect, yeah. But have you seen a study to that effect?
Sherrington 1904.
Thank you.
I mean, there were studies since. I mean, Ives did it in the 20s, and DeLange did it in the 50s, and Kavonius did it in the 70s.
I think that we have to go to the next talk. Christopher, thank you very much.
To that effect?
Sherrington 1904.
Thank you.
I mean, there were studies since. I mean, Ives did it in the 20s, and DeLange did it in the 50s, and Kavonius did it in the 70s.
I think that we have to go to the next talk. Christopher, thank you very much.